Welcome to an episode of Brian Spain Domain and another episode about women, famous women in Spanish history. And today our featured legend is one of the most important figures of the 20th century. And she is none other than Dolores Ibárruri. Terribly difficult name to pronounce. Let me spell it for you. Ibarruri. And with the accent over the A. A classic Basque last name. If you want to try to pronounce some of the most impossible to pronounce or impronounceable last names in Spanish, it's the Basque names. Anyway, she is more famously known as La Pasionaria, or La Passionaria, much easier to pronounce, and more recognizable. Dolores is one of the most emblematic voices of the 20th century, of 20th century Spain. Her story is one of poverty, conviction, defiance, and a voice that carried across battlefields and borders. La Pasionaria was born in 1895 in Gallarta, a small mining town in the Basque Country, hence the complicated name. Her parents were actually devout, hardworking people. Her father was a miner, and the family lived modestly. Young Dolores was intelligent and curious, showing great promise in school, but her family couldn't afford for her to keep her studies going on. So when she was barely a teenager, she had to leave school and work as a seamstress and a maid. It was a harsh introduction to adulthood, thwarting her aspirations to be better educated. But at the same time, those early experiences of struggle, inequality, and exploitation would shape the path she chose later. As she grew up, she saw daily how mining families suffered, poor wages, dangerous conditions, and little hope of change. These injustices stirred her deeply, though she was raised in a very religious environment. Basque families back then tended to be very religious, very Catholic. Dolores herself was drawn toward workers' movements and socialist ideas, which were growing in popularity, not just in Spain, but throughout the world. In 1915, she married a miner named Julian Ruiz. Julian was the one who introduced her to political activism. Through discussions and meetings and the turbulent reality going on around her, she became a committed leftist, convinced that the working class deserved better, which was unquestionably true at that time. In 1918, she wrote an article signing it for the first time with the name that would define her, that would make her famous until this day, La Pasionaria, or the Passion Flower. The name captured perfectly the blend of fiery emotion, conviction, and almost poetic force, the poetic force that she brought to her political life. She joined the Spanish Communist Party soon after it was founded and quickly became one of its most passionate voices. She spoke and wrote with clarity, courage, and an unstoppable energy that attracted supporters and unnerved opponents. La Pasionaria lived through personal hardship. Of her six children, only two survived infancy. These tragedies hardened her resolve to defend the working classes and fight and be active and fight for a better world and a better life for the neediest. To her, the suffering of the working families wasn't theoretical. It was a real, true reality. As her reputation grew, she became known as a powerful speaker, someone capable of moving crowds, lifting spirits, and transforming despair into determination. Her speeches were not elegant in a traditional sense. They were fiery, emotional, and direct, but that was precisely why they worked. By the 1930s, Spain was a country in upheaval, torn between competing visions of the future. When the Second Republic was established in 1931, Ibarruri became one of the leading voices defending democracy and workers' rights. She was elected to parliament in 1936, but that was a bad time to be elected to parliament, as just a few months after those elections, the uprising, the military uprising led by General Francisco Franco, plunged Spain into that brutal civil war, which is so famous to this day. And the Spanish parliament was essentially suspended. Now, during this conflict, La Pasionaria's voice reached its legendary status. This is what made her so famous to this day. As the Republic struggled to defend itself, she became one of the most recognizable symbols of resistance. Her speeches, broadcast on radio and delivered in packed halls, rallied volunteers and comforted the wounded. In one of her most famous statements, addressed to the defenders of Madrid when Franco's troops were surrounding the city and about to take it, she declared, "No pasarán," which means they will not pass, or they shall not pass. And lo and behold, against all odds, or at least it seems that way, the Republican side resisted the attack on Madrid in 1936. The city seemed like it was going to fall, but after a month of fighting, Franco gave up. And that just gave further fame and legendary status to those words. La Pasionaria wasn't simply a symbol, though. She worked tirelessly during the war, supporting militias, visiting hospitals, organizing supplies, and raising morale. She represented hope in a time of immense suffering, but as the war wore on and the Republican side struggled under internal divisions, material shortages, and the overwhelming support of the Franco side by Germany and Italy, it soon was clear that the Republic, the legitimate government, wasn't going to survive. When Madrid fell in 1939, the Republic was defeated. Like thousands of others, La Pasionaria fled into exile, realizing that if she were to stay in the country, it might actually mean her death. She settled in the Soviet Union, where she continued her political work. In fact, one of her sons had been there, or maybe both of them had been sent there. Anyway, she lived far from Spain, but she remained a symbolic figure for many who opposed Franco's dictatorship. She joined international organizations, served on committees, and became a respected figure within the global communist movement. Life in exile was safer than wartime Spain, but it was not without its difficulties. The Soviet Union went through its own upheavals, and Ibarruri witnessed them firsthand. Stalin's iron-fisted handling of his own country certainly must have had an impact on her, but she stayed committed to her ideals, believing that the fight for justice and dignity was global and not limited to one single country. During these years, she also endured the loss of her son, Ruben, who died while fighting in World War II as a volunteer in the Red Army. Franco's dictatorship lasted for nearly four decades until 1975, and La Pasionaria could not return to Spain until his death. Finally, in 1977, 40 years after she left, she returned to a country that was transformed. Spain was transitioning into democracy, and despite her age and declining health, she campaigned for the Communist Party and was in the first democratic elections. Her presence at rallies drew enormous crowds. People saw her as sort of the living memory of resistance, sacrifice, and unbroken determination. She was even elected once more to Parliament, though this time she served only briefly. Age and illness forced her to retire from active political life, but she remained a symbol of unwavering commitment until her death in 1989 at the age of 93. In fact, by that time, I had made my first visit to Spain, so I was actually here in Madrid when she was still alive, which is pretty cool. Now, it's true that La Pasionaria hasn't gone without certain controversies throughout her life. She was accused of political violence during the Spanish Civil War. In fact, even before that, she was also criticized for her Soviet alignment and also staying in the Soviet Union during Stalinism, who was himself a brutal dictator. And then there were all sorts of critics, some probably for political reasons, which accused her of neglect of her children, for sending them to Russia while she was living a privileged life in exile. She refuted these claims. And of course, critics often used misogynistic language to attack her as an adventuress, sort of a transgressor of female norms, had a negative effect on many people, especially people who were obviously against communism and socialism to begin with. So she was sort of an easy target. But anyway, to recount her story is to tell a story of a century marked by struggle, workers' rights, dictatorship, civil war, exile, and the slow return to democracy. Whether one agrees with her politics or not, La Pasionaria stands out as a figure of immense passion and conviction. That is undeniable. She never pretended to be neutral. She chose her side and fought for it with everything she had. Her voice, once heard across the barricades of Madrid, still echoes today in that simple phrase, "No pasarán." This is the story of a miner's daughter who became one of the most powerful voices of her generation, a woman who turned her suffering and her beliefs into a lifelong fight for what she saw as justice. By the way, you can visit La Pasionaria's grave. It's in the Civil Cemetery, which is basically part of the huge Almudena Cemetery, which is the biggest cemetery in Madrid. It's located to the east of the city. Very much worth the visit if you're into those things. And also if you know a lot about Spanish history, a lot of very famous people have been buried there. And just a little further east, on the eastern end of that cemetery, you have this civil cemetery. You have to cross a road. And there it's, I guess, basically if it's for the non-Catholic faith or the non-believers too, it doesn't have to be, I think it's just open to anyone. I've been there. You do see graves with a cross on it, so it'd be probably be Protestants or other faiths or non-believers. There are famous politicians, writers, activists, and obviously a whole slew of socialists, communists, and among them you have Dolores's, La Pasionaria's grave. It's the minute you walk in, it's on your left. You almost can't miss it. A big white slab of rock. It's, if I remember correctly, it's a very simple tomb and probably something that would be consistent with the way La Pasionaria saw the world, saw life, that simplicity, nothing ostentatious. And if you're interested in seeing that, you can go check it out there. And that'll be all for today's podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. And you can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.